So I am Kathy Binner. I am a passive income coach, and this is the Happy House Hunters. And tonight we are starting at the top of, gosh, our whole list of what we cover. We go through the six F's of real estate twice a year, and we start in January through June, and then we start again in July. So for those of you that are tapping in, it's perfect timing because you're right on board, right at the right time. Because our first topic is finding. And we just kind of walk you through the whole real estate investing process. So you have to find it first. So our first topic is finding. Once you find it, you have to fund it. How are you going to buy it? So our second month, so in August, we're going to be talking about funding. And then we're going to move on to fixing. You know, you find it, you fund it, now you got to fix it. And so we talk about fixing. And then we go on and talk about flipping, because some folks are just going to flip a few deals to get some more cash before they buy and hold. And so we're going to talk about flipping, and then we're going to go into filling. And those are the buy and hold folks. What do you do once you find it and you fund it, you fix it, you flipped a few to get some extra cash? Now you're going to hold on to this one. So now at this point, you have to fill it. So then we're going to talk all about filling. And then finally, what is your freedom number? How many of these do you have to make work optional? Isn't that a great idea? How many units do you have to make work optional? I've got my blurred thing on behind me. So every so often I notice my ears disappear. Anyway, it's easy because I don't have to pop up a screen. I can tap in from wherever and just blur my background. So that's what you're seeing there. So if I sit a little bit sideways, you see all of me. But anyway, so we're going to talk tonight about the finding. Kyle is going to be our presenter. Now, Kyle is my co-mod. And Kyle, when this gets recorded, it actually shows you in the recording when you say something. So I'm going to let you speak here in a minute so you show up. And so Kyle is my co-mod on all of our masterminds. We have a Happy House Hunters mastermind group where we actually go out once a month and we take you through properties. And we actually, Kyle, he'll tell us a little bit about this, but we actually go in the basements, we go in the attics, we look in all the little corners and crannies and try to find out what's wrong with this property and what it would take to, again, what it would take to fund it, you know, what kind of an offer you're going to make and what would it take to fix it? And then are you going to flip it or are you going to hold on to it and fill it? And how many of these do you have to reach your freedom number? And so we go out once a month and we call it boots on the ground. And so we have some fun time. And then afterwards we go somewhere and we eat, we hang out and we get something to eat and something to drink and we get to know each other a little better. And we become pretty tight knit, our little group. And we communicate with each other throughout the month. And so when folks have a question, they get on this whole thread and say, Kathy, this happened. What do I do now? And everybody kind of gets to pitch in because it's a mastermind. So everybody gets to give their opinion. Like, well, and when that happened to me, here's how I handled that. Or the other day I ran into that before and here's how that worked out for me. And it's just a great resource for all the folks that are in the mastermind. And then we do another meetup. We do a Zoom call once a month where everybody just brings their problems to the table. Whatever it is they're working on, whether it's finding a property or whether it's funding one or fixing one. Oftentimes we're talking about contractor issues or flipping or tenant issues with filling. I mean, it's whatever issues, it's wherever they are in the process. And so it's just a way, kind of a, I'll call it kind of like office hours, so to speak, where they can just jump on and bring whatever questions they have. And we get kind of deep, we get down in the weeds, you know, and because it's a tight knit group, we actually talk about things that are very confidential. So we do keep it confidential because sometimes it's tenant issues. And so we're talking actual locations and actual tenants. And so we do keep it confidential, but we do encourage that mastermind group to interact with each other throughout the month. So if I'm ever not available, they might get a hold of Kyle. And, you know, again, just as a sounding board, just to help them get through whatever their questions are. So it's a great resource for all of us. Now, Christy is my co-mod for the actual free meetups, which that's what this one is. And so we're just honored to have Christy and Kyle both in the same room at the same time. Normally we don't. And Christy is my co-mod for this particular event. And it is the first Tuesday of every month. And again, we pick a topic of those six F's and go through the six F's twice a year and bring you tons of value. Now, all of it, whether you're tapping into the free meetup or whether you're tapping into the mastermind, all of it is recorded. All of it is at kathybinner.com. You can scroll down my homepage. You can click through on the free ones and hear all the replays. If you're a member of the mastermind, you can go back and click through the Mastermind Resource Center. And we've got the list of all of the contractors are in there, all of the forms that you need. Everything is in the mastermind site for those mastermind members. And the mastermind is only $25 a month. That's it. And you get me unlimited. As many calls and questions as you have, you get me. So that's good news. I'm actually going to eviction court with one of my mastermind members tomorrow. This is his first eviction. He's a little nervous. He's never done one before. And so I'm actually attending with him. And I'm kind of excited about it because I get to see how it works in Franklin County. I've done a couple in Fairfield County, but I get to see how it works in Franklin County so that I can help my members even more, because now I'll have, you know, kind of firsthand knowledge. I'll be right there in the driver's seat along with him tomorrow. So it's kind of an exciting time. And again, it's just part of the business. So you have to learn how to be very nice and how to be very giving with boundaries. And so that's what we all hope to accomplish. So anyway, with that, I'm going to let Kyle tell you a little bit about himself so that you get to see his face in the recording. For those of you that are on tonight, you can see all three of us. But once it's recorded, the recording just shows the person who's talking. So I'm going to let Kyle introduce and tell you a little bit more about, just briefly about himself. And then we're going to move over to Christy. And then we're going to circle back to Kyle and let him do his presentation. So Kyle, over to you first.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? I'm really happy that we are starting back at the top of our agenda with finding here in July, because July is about halfway through the year. And I always take this as an opportunity myself to revisit my New Year's resolutions and try to recommit to those. And so I think it's really nicely happenstance that we're starting back at the beginning of our agenda here too. So I'm really excited to talk about the finding aspect of deals tonight.
Perfect. And Christy, tell us a little bit about you.
I'm Christy, and I have been in real estate for the last 30 years. I've been a realtor. I've been a mortgage loan originator. And for the past couple of years, I've switched focus to the investing side. And that's what I currently do now. I look for properties to fund, flip, and fix.
So you're in the finding.
I am.
You're doing that on a daily basis. That actually is your job, is finding real estate.
Yes, that is my job. So I'll be very anxious. I'm very anxious to hear what Kyle has to say today.
Very good. Very good. And I'm sure that you can add some to the conversation as well.
I don't know. We always need new ways. There always need to be new ways.
Yes, I get that. Very good. So with that, I'm going to let Kyle give you a little bit about his background, how he actually got into real estate, and then I'm going to let him share his screen and share all of his tips and tricks on how he finds real estate. And he does find a lot for us. Kyle, how many do you have going right now with members of the Happy House Hunters?
I've got at least three members with the Happy House Hunters in various stages of contracts, in addition to, you know, my own client base. And one of them is a really good close personal friend of mine. She's buying her first house ever. And so that's always, you know, extra special to be helping not only a first-time home buyer, but somebody who's like in your inner circle too. So it's just all the feels.
Yes, I get that. I just came off of a coaching call, and it is a fellow author. We are cohorts in a couple of book projects, and I have been talking with her about what she needs to do to get ready to buy her first property. So I spent about 45 minutes with her just now before jumping on this call. So yes, it is exciting when it's folks that we know and we see that they are making plans. If they're not actually making that first investment, they're making plans to make that first investment. And that's huge. That's huge for so many people. I did not get ahead. I'll say this to the folks listening and the folks that come on later and listen to the replays. I did not get ahead financially until I bought real estate. Period. End of story. I did not get ahead financially until I started buying real estate. So, I mean, how are you going to make the kind of income that you want to make for a retirement plan or for whatever it is that you're doing? I mean, even the folks that are college educated that, you know, have some retirement plans, a lot of those companies, you know, we've heard where they're giving them buyouts, you know, they're forcing them into retirement early. They're downsizing some of these big companies. And over the years, you know, we've seen that happen with a lot of big companies. And so you think you're secure. But what I just explained to my girlfriend just right before I got on this call is that everybody needs a place to live. Everybody. Your audience is huge because everyone needs a place to live. And so if you're a buy and hold and you've got, and you don't have to have a lot, you don't have to have a lot of units, but if you have a few units, you're sitting in a wonderful position. Because that property, that real estate property, makes money so many different ways. And that's not our topic for tonight, but you know, I get excited. I get excited about real estate. So anyway, over to you, Kyle, and you can share your screen if you'd like, but tell us a little bit about your background and how you got here.
Okay, let me try to share the screen because I've never done this before. Let's see if it works.
Now, once you share, yep, it should go. Is that what you wanted to see?
Are you seeing my keynote presentation?
I see the Kyle Brandon finding those deals.
Yep, that's the first slide on my keynote presentation.
Very good.
So my name is Kyle Brandon. I actually got into real estate almost completely by accident. I was in school pre-med and I was taking all of these chemistries and physics classes and calculus, and I was getting really bogged down with all of that. And I had an elective slot to fill, and they were doing this real estate financing course. So I thought, that sounds like fun, right? I'm such a big nerd. Finance sounds like fun. But it was just such a diversion from all of my other coursework that I did. I was very interested. And so I took the course. Real estate finance was the first course that I took. And I found it so interesting. You know, I never knew about the secondary mortgage market and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and all of that. So I took the other real estate courses and got my license and thought, okay, cool. This would make for a nice side hustle, right? Sell a couple of houses to friends and family a few times a year. And then I met Stephanie Jenkins. She advertised online that she was looking for an assistant. So I went and met her at an open house and just was blown away by how amazing she is and how personable she is. I had always avoided the real estate industry because it's sales-based and I don't like to be like a salesman. I come from a sales background. My family has a car lot. And so I've heard, you know, all of the horror stories about the used car salesman. And so I never wanted to be that. But then I saw Stephanie just doing it in a completely different way. It really inspired me. And we clicked on so many levels. So that's how I got into real estate, by accident, to just happenstance. So sometimes the universe knows best. So I'm very grateful for everything that has brought me here and meeting Kathy and the Happy House Hunters. It's provided me with a lot of opportunities and a lot of knowledge. Christy, if you have anything to chime in at any time, you know, please feel free. I don't know everything, but I know what I know and I'll share what I know, and I'm happy to do so. And I'm always happy to learn more too. I love learning. So tonight's topic is finding those deals. Well, right now, that's a bit of a tall order. There's not a lot of deals out there. There's not a lot of inventory out there. In fact, last time I checked, Columbus, Central Ohio is hovering around 3 weeks worth of inventory. Meaning if we stopped adding new houses to the MLS, we would sell everything and have nothing left in 3 weeks. Now, just to give you a little bit of perspective, a normal healthy market is supposed to have about 6 months of inventory. And we are at 3 weeks, and we've been hovering at that 3 week mark for like 2 years now. So it's actually been breaking national records. It's hypercritical, and it's driving, you know, the market conditions that we have been seeing. There's actually right now more licensed agents than there are houses for sale in Ohio. So it's really intense. But there are still deals to be found and there are still ways to find them. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. A little bit about myself. I have a strong background in science and information technology. Like I said, I was actually working towards my pre-med degree when I got kind of hooked into real estate. And I also spent 10 years working in information technology, traveling around doing business analytics and helping people run their business more efficiently. So I think I'm really well poised to service my clients here in the real estate industry. I have been a licensed agent for about 10 years now. And like I said a minute ago, I like to prefer to think of myself more as an educator than a salesperson. A lot of people just don't know, you know, what it takes to buy a house or how easy it is or how much they qualify for. People just assume they need a perfect credit score and they assume they need 20% down payment. And it's not true. So I really like educating people, which is why I really shine with first-time buyers. That just really resonates with me, helping people turn on that light bulb, ding, oh, I can own for less than renting. Oh, I could have done this 5 years ago. You know, I love being that guy to help them put those pieces together. Personally, I do belong to two multiple listing services here in Columbus and in my hometown of Mansfield, but through my brokerage network, I've got access to MLSs all over the country and all over the globe. EXP has been expanding globally. So if you're looking to buy that little vacation villa in Italy, call me. I am a residential real estate council member. I am also a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee member. And of course, I am an advisory board member on the Happy House Center's Mastermind. Hey, everybody. I do hold 5 certifications. I am eProbe certified, which is everything to do with online security, backups, trying to prevent hacks using private VPN secured networks. I'm a pricing strategy advisor, which is ever so more important in this market, pricing your house right. I am a real estate negotiation expert certified. I recently became digital marketing social media certified. That was a really fun course. And my most recent certification is REO, real estate owned. Those are bank owned properties that are either in pre-foreclosure or foreclosure. So when we're talking about finding properties, there's really two ways to find properties. We've got on-market properties and we've got off-market properties. So people might ask, you know, what's the difference between an on-market property or an off-market property? Really, the on-market properties are the ones that are going to be listed on the MLS through a realtor or a broker, and the off-market properties are all the ones not on the MLS. And just spoiler alert here, if you haven't seen this movie, Godzilla wins. So on-market, back in the day, what this meant was the multiple listing service, it was an actual book, like a 3D ring binder of books, of homes, pictures of homes, descriptions, all the statistics, square feet, bedrooms, bathrooms. Usually they were black and white pictures. And you'd go to the agent's office and you'd flip through this book and you'd mark down a couple of houses you were interested in seeing. This book of listings was available exclusively to agents. They didn't publish this book anywhere. You couldn't access it anywhere. You had to be working with a licensed agent to get access to the MLS, which again was a book of listings. After you looked through the book and you broke down a few things you wanted to go see, you'd all hop in the minivan and go drive around town and look at these houses together. Or so I hear from realtor folklore. I wasn't working back in those days. Thankfully, I wouldn't look cute in a minivan. On the market today means it's on the internet. God bless the internet. The database, the MLS database is now online and it's propagated and shared everywhere. Everyone's got it on their computer. Everyone's got it on their phone. But your premier resource is going to be iamkylebrandon.com. That's where you want to start your home search. On my website, you can find all the latest listings, all the coming soons, all the pendings, all the open houses, and all the recent price reductions. That information also filters out to realtor.com, which is now owned by the National Association of Realtors. And then you've got some third-party vendors like Zillow and Trulia, and we all have our own personal feelings about them, I'm sure. So here are some on-market trends over the last 20 years. In 1981, 0% of people used the internet to research their home. In 2021, 95% of people used the internet to research their home. So of course, just astronomical changes there from the advent of the internet. In 81, 44% of all buyers were first-time buyers. In 21, that number was reduced to 34%. I also think it's interesting to see that in 81, the average buyer was slightly younger at 29 versus 33 in 2021. And the age of a repeat buyer has also shown similar changes. So just the market trend changes over the last 20 years. And again, there's that 20% down payment you see in 81. And here, averaging in 2021, only needing a 13% down payment. So again, just being an educator and busting those myths that you don't need a full 20% to get into home ownership. So if something's on the market, that means it's on the MLS. The MLS represents the bulk of all home sale transactions, period. 95% of all buyers have used the internet to research their home. 88% of all buyers have used a licensed realtor for their transaction. So 88% of all transactions have been done with a licensed realtor. And that is huge. Through the MLS, we have hundreds of customizable search parameters with instant notifications. We do have a unique setting in the MLS that can push you emails as soon as a new listing gets put on. Whereas the third-party vendors, they have like this cycle on their servers. Maybe it's a 12-hour cycle or a 24-hour cycle or a 36-hour cycle, which might not sound like that big of a deal, but in a market like the one we're in today, instant knowledge, instant access could mean the difference between getting a deal and not getting a deal. So having that unique feature on the MLS, the ASAP feature, those are instant notifications. As soon as a realtor submits their new listing, you're going to receive an email about it. MLS listed homes are usually in livable condition. They might not be gorgeous or HGTV pretty. It might not be everything you want. You know, there might need to be some cosmetic upgrades, but usually they are in livable condition. There are some demos and some rehabs on the MLS too, but a bulk of the clients searching on the MLS, you know, they're busy, they've got jobs, they've got kids, they've got families. A lot of these people want something a little more turnkey and move-in ready. Also through the MLS, we will have access to all the legally required property documents and disclosures. All of that's readily available. We also have a section for private notes where the agents can communicate with each other. Private side notes about the property, you know, is it rented? How much is the rent for? Are the leases expiring anytime soon? Stuff like that. And another unique feature of the MLS is the days on market versus combined days on market. That's something you won't see on Realtor or Zillow or Trulia. And this kind of gives you some insight as to maybe how many times the house has gone in and out of contract. Because if the days on market says it's three, then it means it's been on for sale for 3 days, but the combined days on market says 33, that tells you it's already gone in and out of contract at least once. So the days on market and then the cumulative days on market can mean, can indicate something else. So that could maybe sometimes be a yellow flag or a reason to start asking more questions. All right, why did this fall out of contract the first time? You know, what happened there? You just want to be as informed as you can when you're making one of the largest financial decisions of your life. So some exclusive information that's only going to be available to you on the MLS. And the MLS is only available to licensed agents who are subscribing to that. Now, if you would like access to the local MLS, I can set you up with what's called a portal account. Just tell me some basic parameters that you're looking for. If you're looking for single family homes or multifamilies in this zip code or in that school district, I can set anybody up free portal account into the MLS and start shooting you over listings and information. I know some people like to just keep their eye on the market, keep their thumb on the pulse, so to speak. This is a great way to do that because markets do shift constantly, whether it's up, down, forward, or backward, you know, it is almost like a living, breathing thing. So the more you are in contact with that, the more aware you're going to be, the better prepared you're going to be when the time comes to jump on something.
Now, Kyle, I do have a question. So in this case, it doesn't take a lot of work on your part. Once you set up that portal and put in the parameters, then it just kind of is automated at that point. It's not like you're constantly trying to keep those properties flowing out to whoever wanted to know that certain filter. Once you set it up, it just kind of does it on its own. Am I correct?
Correct. God bless. It is automated. It doesn't take much for me to set that up on the front end. So please reach out if you want to have a couple of searches set up. I'm happy to do it. I've got hundreds, if not thousands, of searches set up for people who are just kind of watching things on the back burner. But as soon as that one thing pops up, oh, hey, look, there's that mid-century modern ranch I've always dreamed about. Oh, hey, there's that rare listing in that highly desirable school district. Let me call my friend. You know, I've got a lot of people who just have background searches set up just so they can keep their eye out for those sorts of things. I mean, you're right. And it is automated. Now, I know we all hate getting spam. So you can tell me how often you want it to send to you. Do you want it to come every day? Do you want it to come twice a week? Do you want that ASAP feature? Or you might get 10 or 20 a day if they add 10 or 20 new listings that match your criteria. It all depends on how much you want to be contacted. And I can adjust that at any time. And if you ever need to change your parameters at any time, it's easy peasy. So please don't feel any type of way about asking me to set up all the searches you want, because I love data, and I know some other people in on this call love data too. So I'm happy to help.
Christy, do you have, are you tapped into the MLS? Do you get a steady flow of what's hitting the market early?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you did. Yes.
Yeah, and with the Central Ohio region, we just recently added, within the last year or two, we just recently added a new feature called Coming Soon, where you can actually start marketing a property before showings begin. And that's been really key, and especially with COVID and everything, people can start to plan ahead. You know, things are flying off the shelf within 24 hours of being listed, and oh my God, I didn't even know that went up for sale and it's already gone. So the Coming Soon has helped us kind of pump the brakes on that a little bit, give people, you know, maybe a week or two notice, hey, this house will be coming on the market. Here's when showings begin. Here's when the open house is. Give people time to get their ducks in a row so that they don't miss out on you know, maybe their ideal home. So I was really happy when I saw the Coming Soon get added to the Columbus MLS. And that's not available everywhere. I do belong to the Mansfield board up there. And they do have a Coming Soon, but you kind of have to go through a workaround to get it. It's not available just to anybody for any reason, but of course I know how to do it. So on the market is the bulk of all the listings that we see. So now we're going to switch gears and talk about some off-market opportunities. A lot of people tend to forget that new builds are technically off-market properties. A lot of new construction don't put their homes on an MLS. They have their own marketing strategies. They have their own in-house agents. They do a lot of their own lead generation. And statistically, we can see that 7% of all 2021 home sales in Ohio were directly with developers themselves. So we got about 88% were using realtors, 7% were direct to new builds. That's 95%. We're down to, you know, the bottom of the barrel here. Off-market properties do not represent a very big segment of the market. But not to say that they're not important or don't have their place, but a bulk of all listings, a bulk of all transactions are being done, quote unquote, on market. But the market only has 3 weeks of inventory. So time to expand our options, right? I know a lot of people here are looking to, you know, BRRRR or invest or flip. So a new build might not make a lot of sense for you in that regard. But let's say you're looking for your dream home to retire in. You know, a new build might be a great option for you. Some of the options they have spec homes where they've already chosen all of the materials and finishes and colors and layouts, and they're just building them. And you can roll up in there and you can buy a spec home and close in 30 days or less sometimes. Sometimes they've got some sitting there available right now. Or you can order a custom home. Some builders allow you to customize your cabinetry, the colors, the bump outs, the upgrades. So there's a couple of different ways you can go about with that. I know with the supply chain issues that a lot of the more customization you have done, you know, the more likely it is it's going to be delayed or suffer from inflation or supply chain issues, but I do know a great builder. He's just building spec homes, and they had already pre-ordered all of their cabinets, all of their flooring, all of the windows. And so they're not being affected by the supply chain issues as much. And they're still cranking out houses, and they've got some that are ready to go. And again, those are technically off-market properties. Something I recently learned is that some of these developers actually have their own in-house financing. They have their own money to lend. They are their own bank. Some of them still have interest rates as low as 4%, which I think the average right now is almost close to 6%. I think it slipped a little bit last week, but 2% is a huge difference from 6% with a traditional lender on an existing home versus 4% on a brand new home using their in-house financing. That 2% difference can make a world of difference in your monthly payment and in how much house you can afford. With that 2% swing, you could probably afford $50,000 to $75,000 more worth of home. And it's a new home. It's going to come with warranties. Going to get stuck in a bid war and overpay for this house and then move in and have to change out the furnace and the roof and the windows, right? These are all new build homes, and everything in there comes with anywhere between a 10 to a 25 year warranty. So you're going to be set for a while. They also have some incentives. They've got, in addition to their own lower APRs, they also have incentives to help you buy down that interest rate even lower, or to help you make a larger down payment to try to avoid PMI. So a lot of times you can actually afford a more expensive house if you go with a new build. And again, you're not going to have any worries for quite a long time because everything's covered with a warranty. Now, let's say you do choose to go that route. I absolutely should use an agent.
That was going to be my question. My question is, if you're going to do a new build, do we still call you?
Absolutely. I mean, if you just roll up and you just want to take a tour, like the people working there work for the developer. They've gone through specific training with that developer, and their fiduciary responsibility lies with the developer. It's not going to cost you any more to bring in your own agent, but we have training. I've got experience. I've taken CE courses. There are questions to ask that if you don't know to ask them, their representatives aren't going to offer up the information, right? They've gone through training that their developer wants them to follow. I'm not saying no one's going to scam anybody, but you don't know what you don't know, So you have to know what questions to ask. So even if you are going to go with a new build, I would absolutely recommend being represented by a buyer's agent, because there's a lot going on there. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of questions to ask. It's not like an existing home sale. It's a completely different lane.
Good to know, Kyle. That's great information.
Yeah, but new builds are technically off-market opportunities. And as we see here, in 2021, they represented about 7% of all transactions, and they expect that number to climb because we've been trying to ramp up new build production, because as we can see with our devastatingly low inventory, there's not enough existing home sales to go around. We have to build more. We have to. Another off opportunity would be a FSBO, for sale by owner. In this case, the owner has decided not to proceed with representation of a licensed realtor. The owner is going to try to sell it themselves, which is totally fine. If he's bought and sold houses a few times in the past and he feels like an old salt and he feels like he can take this on, absolutely, right? You can try to sell a house by yourself. There's no law saying you have to use a licensed agent. Now, even if you are dealing with a FSBO, Even though the seller is not using an agent, you still have the right to be represented by an agent. Here, my last bullet point here, I'm going to skip ahead. Just like we talked about with the new builds, you have a right to be represented as a buyer with a FSBO. There's a lot of questions to ask. There's a lot of things to consider. Even if you've never bought a house, especially if you've never bought a house, even if you have bought a house before, I can't tell you, I'm working on 10 different files right now, and each one has their own unique problem. Right? So an experienced agent's going to know how to put out those fires, is going to see those fires coming and help you avoid them. So you could always be represented by an agent when you are a buyer. But off-market opportunities, a FSBO, a lot of times they just put a sign in the yard. A lot of times they don't do a lot of marketing. Maybe they'll put something in the newspaper. Maybe they'll add it to Craigslist or Facebook. And there is a website for salebyowner.com, but I can't tell you how many times I drive by and I see a yard sign and I'll take down the address and I'll go and try to find it somewhere on the internet. I can't find it on Facebook. I can't find it on Craigslist. They're not using for salebyowner.com. And what was that statistic we saw earlier? 95% of people go to the internet to find their home. So, you know, for sale by owner, FSBOs, they're missing out on, you know, huge opportunity by not listing it on the internet. Now, some people have their own reasons for doing so. I don't know if anybody knows anything about the Grandview neighborhood in Columbus, but all the agents around here, we all know that's considered, that is an insulated market. A lot of people over there don't advertise on the internet. They just put a sign in the yard. They just want the neighbors to know, hey, does your aunt need a house? Hey, does your daughter need a house? It's very local, very within their sphere, a very insulated market. A lot of those homes don't even sell. They just get passed down from generation to generation and never get sold to anybody else. So FSBOs, you know, they have their own reasons for doing things. Maybe it's to save money. Maybe it's to only market in a local neighborhood, you know, to keep that insulation going. But again, if you are going to go for a FSBO, you do have the right to be represented by an agent. And I've got several clients that were very happy to be represented by me when they bought their FSBO, just because, you know, especially first-time buyers, they really have no idea what they're getting into. And you don't want to be led by the seller because you and him ultimately have different goals, right? down here, caveat emptor, that's actually Latin, and it's actually in the Ohio Revised Code. It's actually, it translates to buyer beware. If you bought a house and there's something wrong with it and you try to go to court and sue, the court favors the seller. It's caveat emptor, buyer beware. It is up to you to do all of your due diligence, ask all of your questions, get all of your inspections before signing on the dotted line. Caveat emptor. Another way to get off-market opportunities is what they call driving for dollars. Like we just talked about with the FSBO, maybe it's just a yard sign. Maybe he didn't put it on the internet. Maybe it's an insulated market like Grandview is. You just have to get out and literally get in your car and drive around. Now, see, now this is a minivan I could see myself in, you know, a Volkswagen Bug. Maybe that's the only minivan that I could do. I am a hippie at heart, and I still think these things are so cool looking.
But it has to either have a surfboard or, you know, something on the top there to finish it off.
A surfboard would look really cool. I like those little satellites too. Yeah. the concept here is just getting out and just driving around in the neighborhoods that you like. And my grandma does this to me every time she comes to Columbus. She goes, oh, take me through that neighborhood I like so much. She's talking about Victorian Village. She loves those big, beautiful, ornate, colorful homes, you know. So you're just literally just driving around in the neighborhoods you like, admiring gorgeous properties, and you might see a for sale sign, a for sale by owner, or a for rent sign. Or you want to look for signs of distress. Has someone deferred maintenance? You know, is the front porch collapsing in a little bit? Are the gutters missing or hanging off the house? Is the landscaping neglected? Is there tall grass or a bunch of snow if it's the middle of winter? Have any legal notices been posted on the door? You know, if you are interested, you know, get out and talk to people, knock on doors. You know, leave your information, talk to the neighbors. They want someone to come in and buy it and fix it up, you know. You can also check online public delinquency on taxes. Are they behind on their tax payments? Maybe they're in a bad financial spot and they want or need to sell the house. You can always Facebook stalk them if all else fails. If they can't get a hold of them, you can look up the owner's name on the county auditor site and then try to check, see if they have any social media. Have they posted anything recently? That's something I like to do. One of my friends, when he bought a house in Italian Village, the house next door was in really bad shape. You know, I'll use the word slumlord. The landlord lived out of state and wasn't maintaining the property. The gutters were falling down. He was having foundation issues in his property because of the property next door. And it was an eyesore. You know, everyone else in the neighborhood had really well maintained their property. So he started calling 411 and filing, complaints that these people were violating some city codes, you know. And after enough city code violations, the landlord decided to sell the property instead of investing the money that it would take to fix it up. and the new landlords came in and they house hacked. They moved into one side, it was a duplex. They moved into one side and fixed up the whole place. And you know, that just helps its ARV, it's after repaired value. They put some equity, they got some equity into the house, and then they were able to charge more rent too. So, you know, if you wanna be the snitch, you could call 411 on some of these ugly houses too, if the landlord's not responding. If the owner's not responding to your polite calls and emails and mailings, you know, you could always try that route too. There's always a way if there's a will. Another option for finding off-market properties is direct mail, or what they call snail mail, you know, handwriting letters, or if you want to use, you know, a marketing tool like such as 3clickpostcards.com. That's what I use personally, and they're pretty fantastic. USPS, the postal service also has ways of getting neighborhood mailing addresses, and you can search through Microsoft Word and print out mailing labels at home, or you can have those kind of services exported out and people can do that for you. Again, because of low inventory, you have to start to get creative these days to try to find those opportunities, to make those opportunities. So never forget about the good old-fashioned snail mail. Might take a couple more days to get there nowadays, but it will get there. One of my favorite options for off-market deals are wholesalers, because they do everything we just talked about, they do it for you. They do the driving for dollars. They look for the deferred maintenance. They do the direct mailing. They do the phone dialing and talk to people and try to get them motivated to sell, or find out what their motivations to sell are. If you don't have time to do everything we just talked about in the last five slides, you need to get on some lists with some wholesalers, and they'll send you automatically whenever they've got deals. They'll send you options. You know, here's this house, here's the property, here's the day we're going to do some showings. If you don't have time to do the legwork yourself, wholesalers have, you know, found a niche market and are serving you know, a segment of the industry there. My first note here says that a lot of these homes might not be real appealing to the general public and wouldn't do well on the MLS. People who are shopping on the MLS, a lot of times they want something a little more move-in ready. They're okay with some cosmetic fixes and stuff, but you know, if there's a lot of more bigger ticket item, you know, deferred maintenance things, a lot of times those properties don't do as well on the MLS. So wholesalers do have a market that they service. So a lot of these homes do need a bit more work and money put into them to bring them up to livable condition. But that's how you get a good deal. Now, these are not an arm's length transaction, meaning the wholesaler does not own the home, but they have a contractual interest to market and sell the home. They've agreed on a price with the seller, the owner, that's going to make them happy. And then they market the home and they agree on a price with the buyer that's going to make them happy, and they get to keep the difference. And that difference pays for all of that legwork that you didn't have to do. They've already done it for you. Now, a lot of times these are cash only transactions, not a lot of time for financing, especially not a lot of time for appraisals. These get done usually very, very quickly. Very limited marketing notice. They usually only have maybe one or two group showings if you're lucky. And a lot of times it's as is, where is, no inspection contingencies either. So they can be a little bit more risky because, you know, you don't have as much time to take to get appraisals and inspections and all that, you know, caveat emptor, buyer beware. But a lot of times you can get these at a lot better pricing. And there's tons of wholesalers around. I mean, you literally just Google for wholesalers around Columbus, and I'm on three or four different mailing lists. So I'm always keeping my eye out on wholesale opportunities too. Off-market opportunity auctions. My brother just bought his house at a sheriff's auction. You can also do REOs, real estate owned. Those are bank-owned properties that are either in pre-foreclosure or foreclosure. The Housing and Urban Development Department of HUD has auctions online as well. And Fannie Mae Home Path properties. These are properties that need a little fixing up, a little bit of elbow grease and sweat equity put into them. But Fannie Mae will finance the purchase of the home and will finance some of the repairs too, almost kind of like a 203K rehab loan. But home path properties are also auctions. again, a lot of times these homes are not livable yet, but can be with a little bit of money and equity, sweat equity, work. And some miscellaneous off-market opportunities. When you're driving for dollars, when you're Googling, whatever, when you see something for rent, they might also be interested in selling. Maybe this year they were on the fence. Oh, should I rent it one more year or should I sell it? You know, it's always beneficial to ask someone who's renting a property if they have any interest in selling it too. Maybe something has recently happened in their life and, you know, divorces, marriages, births, deaths, job relocations, who knows? There's a lot of things that spark people to change their mind at any time. So one thing I know about people is that they can change their mind at any time. So just because something's for rent doesn't mean that it's not also for sale. So it does benefit you to at least ask the question. You can also start your own lead generation website. I'm sure you've all seen those yellow signs stapled to the telephone poles. It says, "We buy ugly houses." And it's got a picture of a caveman with like a rock on his back. That's exactly what this is, right? It's a lead generation website. Now you have people calling you, "Hey, I saw that sign. Hey, I've got an ugly house I might want to sell." You know, if you have your own lead generation websites, you can have people calling you, trying to sell you their houses instead of the other way around. And then there's some old school marketing options. You know, there's billboards, there's benches. You can put a magnet on your car. I've seen some really great ones recently, Llama Properties. So think of the old school. I know 95% of people do search online, but you know, people also leave the house and go out into the world, right? You drive around, you see billboards, you see benches, you see car magnets, and they do work. And then my favorite one is very organic. It's just networking. You know, I just spent the weekend with family over the 4th of July, and I found out two of not my immediate family members, but family members of close friends of mine are planning on going into retirement homes later this year and will be wanting to sell their house. So just networking. Who do you know that's going through a life change? Again, marriages, divorces, new jobs, new babies, what have you. Just as you're talking to your sphere organically, just be asking questions and taking notes and you know, don't be afraid to ask for business too. Oh, and do you know what they're going to do with that when she goes into the home? You know, maybe she's going to leave it to the kids, maybe they're going to sell it, but just networking, even with strangers. One time I was in line for coffee and I heard somebody talking to somebody else that they wanted to start buying houses. And you know, you just go up and just strike up that conversation. So you don't even have to spend any money, you know, just as you're out and about doing your daily errands or what have you, just network with people, listen, ask questions, just be friendly. So we're almost at the end of my presentation here, but realtors, that's who we are. A little bit about what real estate agents do. We are America's largest trade association, and we have a lot of clout and pull when it comes to, you know, legislation and things that are going through Congress. And we've been doing it for 112 years. Realtors have been advocating for, you know, private ownership rights of properties. Recently here in Columbus, we were able to block a law that was going to implement rent control. And the local association of realtors here fought very hard to not let that law go into effect, to keep an open and free market. And you can see here some other data, 1.5 million professionals following a strict code of ethics. We've got 1,200 different MLSs around the country, and over 200,000 of them hold various certifications and degrees. And then here's my favorite little meme, a little marketing tool that a friend of mine made for me. I just think it's hilarious. The Columbus market is hot as the house is burning down. Should have used my Uncle Kyle for a realtor. So that's the end of my presentation for finding properties. Does anybody have any questions or any more to add? Christy, Kathy?
Kyle, you can click to stop sharing and that'll put us back on the screen together so we can see everyone. And we had some folks join in that had to jump off because they're actually at work. So they did jump in and listen to part of your presentation. So that was kind of fun. So anyway, good news there. When you're out there and you've got a new person, you know, how how do you educate them as to where, what price range they should be looking in? Because oftentimes I think the reality is different than maybe what they're thinking. Either they're thinking they can't afford something nicer, or they've got their eyes set on, you know, the castle that, you know, their income isn't going to support. How do you determine where they should be in the market, you know, in the shopper's market?
Right. Well, a lot of people try to start with thinking of, you know, how much house can you afford? Oh, a $300,000 house, oh, a $400,000 house. I like to ask them, well, what kind of monthly payment are you comfortable with? And let's work backwards from there, because your monthly payment, whatever you're comfortable with, is going to dictate then ultimately that final number. But there's a lot of things that come into play also, not just, oh, I can't afford a $400,000 house. Well, maybe you can with the right interest rate. Maybe you can with a big enough down payment. Maybe you can if you finance it over 30 years instead of 15 or 20. And some lenders are actually thinking of offering a 40-year mortgage too. So I like to ask people about what kind of monthly payment they would be comfortable with. And then I go from there and say, oh, do you have any other, you know, kind of revolving debts? You know, do you have a car payment right now? Do you have credit cards right now? If you didn't have a car payment or credit cards, you know, what would your monthly payment be? You know, and if they're close to paying off their credit card debt or their car loan, maybe, you know, I advise that they wait until that is done and then don't rack up anymore. And then they can reallocate that money to their monthly payment. I mean, also with new builds, like I said, a lot of people think they can't get into a new build because it's going to require huge amounts of money. But with their lower interest rates and their incentives to help buy down the interest rates or to buy out your PMI, it's not necessarily what the price tag of the home is, but what your monthly payment should be.
Are the bulk of your client base homeowner or investors?
I would say I'm probably 75% homeowner and about 25% investor.
Okay. Do we have any questions from any of the folks that are in the room? We've got Sean, Stephanie, Stefan, and Tom that are listening in today. Of course, this is being recorded, so the replay is going to be saved at kathybinner.com. You can scroll down my homepage until you come to the Happy House Hunters free meetup and click through, and you'll find all of our replays there. So if you're in the finding mode, looking, you know, to find that next property, you certainly can listen to this replay again, and you can go back and listen to our earlier replays. They're labeled finding, all the ones that had to do with finding. If you're looking for funding, you can go back and listen to all the funding ones, all of us there. If you join the mastermind, which is $25 a month membership fee, you actually get access to all of the replays, not only the free meetups, but also all of the mastermind replays, and you get the course is included, and you also get our whole resource center. All of that's included for the $25 a month membership fee. And you get me and Kyle and Christy. That's the best part. Christy, how about you? Any comments? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing for finding.
All the same things. I kept thinking I was leaving out one. I do want to ask you though, when you work with wholesalers, are you finding that their prices are a little unrealistic right now?
Well, you know, everyone hears seller's market and everyone knows we've got critically low inventory and there's not many deals to be had. So I think they're just like everybody else. They're trying to get as much as they can. Okay. Deals are becoming far and fewer between. They are working 40 hours a week, if not more. They're doing all that legwork.
I know that, but they're starting to get
more. You're right, but I do know, you know, if something doesn't sell right away, that I'll get like a follow-up email.
Yeah,
there's room to negotiate. Make me an offer. Write me an offer. You know.
I just wanted to verify it wasn't just me thinking that.
Nope, I would concur.
Okay, that's all. I just want to make sure it wasn't me. Because the deals are hard to find right now.
Yeah, they're you say hard, I say impossible.
and then you go to the next question. Is it better to make a bad purchase? Or, you know, kind of
Well, it depends on what you guess as you define as bad, because like Kathy always likes to say, the only difference between a good deal and a bad deal is enough time. So if you're going to bury, if you're going to buy and hold it for a while, I don't think there are any bad deals out there. If you're trying to do the quick flip, you know, with contractors are just so booked up mm-hmm. right now. Supplies are in short demand. If you're trying to do a quick flip, I'm not sure that's the right route. But if you're going to hold it for a while, I don't see any bad deals to be had.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm having the same experience.
And I think it depends too on the type of contractors that you have in your back pocket, because you know, if you have one that maybe you've worked with a contractor before and you're thinking, oh, I know he can do this one. You know, maybe the whole thing needs, you know, plumbing, or it needs drywall, right, or it needs, you know, a new roof or whatever. And you have someone that you've worked with and you know they can handle that, you know, then that makes that not quite as bad a deal for you if you've got that contractor in your back pocket than what it would be for someone that didn't have, you know, somebody that they've worked with before. And now they've got to kind of get on the waiting list and try to find a roofer because they're so booked up, or find a drywaller, or find a plumber. And so, you know, it really kind of depends on your resources. And again, I'll throw a little plug in there. That's why the Happy House Hunters Resource Center is so good, because we have a list of resources of those folks that we all work with on a regular basis. Right. So they're kind of our preferred list.
Right. Having those pre-existing relationships could be, you know, the difference between a mm-hmm. make or a break on the deal.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like I recently heard is with, you know, the pending Intel boom that's coming. Intel is signing contracts with contractors left and right. They're going to need thousands of specialized people to come out there and work. And so everyone in Central Ohio, the waiting list just got a little longer.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. And this is not the right call for this, but short-term and midterm rentals are also hot right now. They're just as hot as the long-term rentals. So if anyone is even remotely thinking about getting into the midterm market or into the short-term market, we've got a big audience in Columbus, Ohio for all three of those markets, short-term, midterm, and long-term, and homeowner. Yes. And yeah, so there's a market for all of that.
Every segment is booming.
Yeah. And you know what, Kyle, I loved what you said about the first time home buyers, because they were always my favorite too. I swear I never felt better than sitting at a closing mm-hmm. with a first time home buyer and just to see the looks on their faces. I mean, they were nervous as cats, but but you know, to know that they were going to actually own their own home when they had never even thought about it before.
Right. Right. A lot of times then maybe they're even the first person in their family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I was going to say, you're right.
Yeah. I know they require more work. They have a lot more questions. They're a lot more handholding. I know agents who steer clear of them because they are more work. And I'm like, send me those referrals. I like educating people. I like helping people. So
yeah, they're great.
And I like the first time investors for that same reason, because they don't think that they can actually be an investor mm-hmm. and, or a landlord. And so I love those folks as well.
Right.
For the same reason.
Yeah. Right.
It's so exciting.
It goes off and they just suddenly see it in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I love that. Any questions from the audience? Do you have any questions for Kyle or either Kyle or me or Christy? Again, we've got Sean, Stephanie, Stefan, and Tom. Sean says, thank you for the presentation. Anyone else have any comments or questions? We're almost at the top of the hour, but we want to make sure that we answer any of your questions, or if you just have a comment. Everyone's quiet tonight.
Everyone's tired after the big long holiday weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can hear my dog snoring in the background.
Oh, that's too funny. Kyle, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on. The information was wonderful. Very, very well laid out, and you explained everything so well. And it really helps me when I'm talking to investors, because again, you know, when I talk to the newbies, a lot of times they're like, how do I find the next property? And so I'm talking to them about finding. And so this has been very helpful for me. And again, I love listening to all of our presenters, because I learned so much right along with everyone else. And even the things that I thought I knew, They're always changing in this real estate mm-hmm. environment. They're always changing. And it's like Christy asking about, you know, the wholesale cost. You know, I'm thinking like you, Christy, I'm thinking, oh, that guy or that girl is just a little bit, you know, out of the market. But then when you talk to folks that are in the market every day, you realize that, no, that is the market. That's what it is.
The market. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then you don't feel so bad. That right. You realize that that's what it is. Yeah. I get it. So I appreciate you, Kyle and Christy. I appreciate you being my co-mod and coming thank on you. Today. And thank you for your comments and your questions. And so don't forget, this is the first Tuesday of every month. We go through one of the six F's of real estate, but tap into that mastermind and you can do the boots on the ground with us. And you can bring all your questions to the table. And then again, you get me and Kyle and Christy the rest of the month if you have questions that you don't have to wait for an actual event to ask your questions. So you do get a little bit of that extra handholding if you need it. And then the fourth Thursday of every month, we do a meet and greet at Gresso's in German Village. So we get to actually see everybody in person and we get to share resources and referrals. And it's just a lot of fun. And so very casual. Come when you can, stay as long as you can, leave when you must. There's no set time frame. We get there usually around 6 o'clock and just leave whenever we're all talked out. So join us there. And that's the fourth Thursday of every month. And if I am traveling, then Kyle handles that one for me. And because Christy, you're pretty far out, I think, to run into Columbus on a Thursday evening. But you're always welcome. So if you get the chance or if you're in town, please stop by. So anybody that's listening on the call, please join us on the fourth Thursday at Gresso's. The food's pretty good there, actually. Yeah. And it's pretty easy in and out. So we are a little bit after 7. And so we're going to go. And again, thank you everyone for joining us this evening. Tap through the KathyBenner.com and listen to the replay. And we will see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye everyone.